Well, welcome to break number 18. I think we can finish up this whole series here on 1 Peter chapter 3, how people preach and teach that 1 Peter chapter 3 is something to be fearful of. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, as we finish up this last one here, let's take a quick look here at Romans chapter 2. See, we get done with Romans chapter 1, and we see all these horrible things that are taking place, and these people that do this with pleasure. They have pleasure in them that do them, and that's all those things that are going on. And we're seeing those things in public, not just in private, personal situations, but out in public, laws, governments, nations that are demanding these things be acceptable. We hear the preachers today preaching how against that stuff, and they're good preachers. They preach against this, and they preach against that, and they preach hard of this. We find great preachers and teachers, good words and fair speeches, I think it is in Romans. And you find them on YouTube. You find audios everywhere on the internet. They've got everything figured out what's wrong. Of course, you can go through Romans chapter 1, and you can find out what's wrong. You can preach about it. You can go through Proverbs. You can find great sermons and great lessons on family design and all these kind of things, but they're not teaching the truth, see? Because if you go down to Romans chapter 2, and you go down to, well, let's go to verse 3 here, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? But here's the one I want people to realize. This is what Paul teaches. This is what the risen Savior has put towards the Gentiles, towards us. For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Pastors are preaching the fear of God. They're preaching the chastisement of God. They're preaching all these things about the gospel walk, because that's what you get in the gospels. They're preaching all these things about 1 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Hebrews. They're preaching these things because during the tribulation, that's what will need to be preached. And it is. You've got to walk right or you're a goner. The goodness of God should not be taught during the tribulation. It might be taught during the tribulation because the devil may just have the preachers and pastors teaching Paul during the tribulation instead of what should be preached. And what should be preached is already being preached as if it were in the tribulation. And if you follow that, you will be miserable. You'll be full of fear. You'll be depressed. You'll be frustrated at your Christian walk. You'll think that you're just not making God happy enough, and what's happening to you is his chastisement, and on it goes. So let's finish this up. We're in 1 John chapter 4 this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, whatever it is for you. And I'm going to show you a couple more verses here that if they believe and they teach that 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 is 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. There we go. Terrible memory I have. If you teach and believe that that's something to be wary of today, then you will also believe that in 1 John chapter 4 verse 6, this is also towards you. 1 John chapter 4 verse 6 says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So people that say we don't hear them about all these different Bible versions, that we don't believe all their different teachings about 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd John, James, Jude, etc., then see, we are not of God. But they are of God, because people that follow that are of God, because they know God, and they go by their feelings of their beliefs. And it's just the opposite. That's a tribulational verse right there. That's not something that we should be preaching today. During the tribulation, yes, those that are going to be the Christian, the serious Christian during the tribulation, they will know. But how do we know the spirit of truth today and the spirit of error from a rightly divided King James Bible? You know that. We know that. Let's go to verse 7. Let's continue their thought and their preaching today. Beloved, let us love one another. Well, that's okay. But what about those that we're supposed to mark as somebody who's not following Paul's teachings? What about those that we're supposed to avoid, withdraw from, etc., etc.? See, we have so-called Christians today that love one another. They love everybody. They love perverted lifestyle. They love all these people out there. And they say we need to just put peace and love on their heart by us loving them. And if they want to kill us, they can kill us. That is not what Paul teaches. We are to love the brethren, No doubt, Paul teaches when he talks about charity, he's talking about charity towards the brethren. Love the enemy? Sure, Paul teaches that, but we're supposed to mark them. And what we hear from 1 John is we're supposed to just embrace them. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, as in verse 8. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 2 tells us a little bit differently there. So which one are you going to follow? Verse 9 of 1 John, or are you going to follow Galatians chapter 2 of verse 20, for example? In fact, if we go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, we love him because he first loved us. Well, that's true, but you know what the modern Bibles say? All the other Bibles out there do not say him. They take out the word him. We love because he first loved us. Why are churches taking upon the title, you know, the people's church, the church of the friendly people, etc., etc., the church of the loving people? Because their Bibles say, we love because he first loved us. We love the brethren, and we love him. But that's not what they're being taught. Okay, let's go on. Let's go down to verse 12 here. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So people are taking this humanistic love today from the pulpits of America, and they're trying to just perfect their love towards everybody. And yet they don't love the Word of God. They don't love rightly dividing. They don't love the truth. And we know Thessalonians tells us that when that tribulation kicks in, they will not love the truth. They will not have the right kind of love. And yes, if they don't even love their brethren, they're up a creek without a paddle, as we would say. So you see what's going on here? Have you picked up on the fact that what's being preached in our pulpits today is great stuff for the tribulation? But we're not in the tribulation yet. Let's go on to chapter 5. I've got a couple more notes here. Chapter 5, verse 13. Let's look at that one here. Here's some classic verses. Oh, I remember preaching and teaching these so many times. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, that sounds good. But let's keep going here. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Well, see, that's what the pastor will say. Well, see, God isn't hearing you. That's why your prayers haven't been answered. You're not asking according to his will. You're having a problem with your wife. You're not living correctly. That's what they'll put on you. Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So if you are living the right life, see, you will know how to pray. That's what they're saying here. Now keep reading. You got to keep reading. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, oh my, what is that? He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know, and this goes back to chapter 4, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So those people that believe that they are born again, they are born of God, according to John chapter 3 and 1 John, written by John, that if you are born of God and you do something wrong, you sin, well then you're not born of God anymore. And they preach this from the pulpits. I've heard it. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. If they're going to preach 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which out for that devil, because he's walking about to see who he can devour, and they do something wrong, then according to 1 John chapter 5, they better be careful, because the wicked one can touch them, because no longer are you of God. See, that will be true during the tribulation. So these people that think they can just go through the tribulation, it is not. It's called tribulation for a reason. It's a terribly difficult time. They will actually have to walk the law of Revelation chapter 14. They'll have to ask for God's forgiveness. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You've heard this preached many times. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. During the dispensation of grace that Paul preaches and teaches to Gentiles, we have that mercy. We have that grace. We don't have to go to him to obtain it. We have the riches of Christ to enjoy. We have the riches of his goodness to enjoy. We have the riches of his glory. We have the riches of his grace. We have the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We have the riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. We have the riches of the glory of this mystery that Paul is the only one that teaches about. He's the only apostle that teaches this among the Gentiles. We have the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery in God. But you're not going to have this if you let your pastors take it away by preaching and teaching, preachings and teachings from Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. Those are written the tribulation. And Romans chapter 11, 22 says, and we're not in the tribulation yet, but we also can tell by Romans chapter 1 that it's getting closer. Are we looking for the coming of Christ? No, we're looking for a meeting together with him. The coming of Christ will be the people's problems during the tribulation. That is not what we're looking for. We're looking for him to come and get us, not come down and get them. And a little bit of different definition of get right there. Well, I hope this series has been encouraging to you. If you're losing that joy amongst all these trials that we're having, get back into that Bible. Get into Paul's books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Romans is a fantastic book. It's not difficult to understand. Romans chapter 6 tells us about sin. He took care of sin. And he tells us how to stop doing those things we should not be doing. We get into Thessalonians. We find out what's coming up in this tribulational time, how much joy we should have today. We get into Timothy and Titus, and we learn how to walk to please God by looking to Paul and Paul only. And if your pastor's not teaching that, you need to avoid that preaching. You need to avoid that church. You need to withdraw from that church. How can you say that? Because that's what the scriptures tell us to do. There you go.